do pray with me. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we would obey your will, share your grace, and show forth your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our scripture lesson today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Hear God's word for us this morning. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Well, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I wonder if you came into church this morning thinking about the fact that you are part of the body of Christ. Maybe you didn't consciously think it. Maybe you were concerned about getting here on time, making your way safely to a pew, or maybe you're already thinking about those after church plans and hoping that the congregational meeting doesn't take too much time. But already this morning, we've come together as the body of Christ. So many different individuals here at Crossroads share their gifts in a myriad of ways on a Sunday morning to be the body of Christ so that we can gather and worship. I counted it up, and I think there are more than 30 people here on a Sunday morning that share a gift in some way to help make worship happen, whether that's in ushering or greeting or playing music or helping to make sure the bulletins get out or making the coffee. I think that's the most important gift. And for all of that, I am so thankful. In this day and age, to be part of a community, to share your gifts in this way, is not the norm. It's countercultural. Most people struggle to commit to anything with any regularity. They wait till the last minute because there are lots of things vying for our time. So to commit to the body of Christ, to share our gifts here, requires something. It requires a commitment. It requires a commitment, and it requires a desire to be part of something that's bigger than yourself. And that's exactly the question that's at stake in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He wrote this letter to help them understand why be part of a church, why sit down and break bread together, why share your gifts. What's at stake in being part of the body of Christ? Stewardship. Now, I know you probably read the newsletter article and saw the theme and thought, okay, it's stewardship, and she's going to talk about money. It's not about money entirely. Stewardship has come to mean money in the life of the church. Every October, we have a sermon series. We have a process where we invite you to share your time, talent, and treasure. But stewardship is so much more than what we commit to tithing or what we put in the offering plate every single Sunday. Stewardship is a way of life. Stewardship is discipleship. To be a steward is to be a caretaker. Stewardship comes from an old English term of a person who took care of pigs. To be a steward is to take care of another person's pigs, to have responsibility for this gift of a pig, so that the owner might share that gift with others. To be a steward is literally to depend on the gifts of others for bacon. Now, perhaps that's not what you think about when you think of being a steward. Any of us pig farmers here? No, we buy our bacon at the grocery store. But to be a steward means that you've been entrusted a valuable gift that needs to be taken care of and cherished, not for the good of yourself, but for the good of others. So what do pigs and stewards have to do with 1 Corinthians 12? Well, Paul is writing this letter to a church in Corinth. Corinth was a brand new church that grew out of Paul's missionary journeys, and it was not an ideal church plant. In fact, planting this church is everything you should not do when you start a church. When Presbyterians plant churches, we research the demographics. We pick the perfect neighborhood that's growing, where there are lots of folks of all ages to join a church. Not Paul. Paul traveled on a boat, and he preached where he landed and preached where God sent him. So why is Corinth a less than ideal church plant? Well, Corinth was a colony that the Romans took over. And the Romans would send over everybody they didn't like to Corinth. They would send criminals, newly freed slaves, veterans, peasants, any riffraff they didn't like, they sent to Corinth. Sadly, they considered veterans to be riffraff, which is thankfully not our way here. So Paul goes to Corinth, and he travels and he preaches. You can read all about it in the book of Acts. But a church gets started here with a group of people that shouldn't get along, that don't get along, because they're very diverse. And as a result, this church community is filled with people from a variety of backgrounds, traditions, and they struggle to get along. And so they write to Paul asking for help. There's division and strife over a number of things: how to celebrate the Lord's Supper, marriage, spiritual gifts, how to use them. But fundamentally, the conflict was over how they might exist as a community that's unified, given the diversity of their gifts, their thinking, their practices. To further complicate matters, you have a variety of preachers and teachers coming in who say their way is the best. And so Paul has to come in and mediate and moderate. Because fences and walls are being built off, there's splintering, there's fracturing, and people are withholding their gifts. They're taking their toys and leaving, which is something my four-year-old does from time to time. It's what we do, right? When the conflict rises, when we struggle, we pull inward. We turn inward instead of staying open with our hands outstretched. And so Paul writes to this community of faith to cut through those divisions and to help them find their unity, which is in Christ. It's not in all those things that divide them. He's writing to them to tell them that Christ is the unifying factor, the common denominator, and they need to turn back toward Christ. And in this section of our letter, Paul is addressing stewardship. To paraphrase verse 1, since you have been given so many gifts, what will you do with them? It's an embarrassment of riches to be such a diverse community of faith. Paul is very smart here. He starts with their strengths, their diversity of gifts, and the fact that they all have a gift to share. And he turns the problem on its head. Because you see, all those varieties of gifts were seen as a dividing factor. But like this image shows, all of them fit together to create a beautiful mosaic. Now, as we know, living in our world, it's incredibly difficult to acknowledge difference and maintain unity. We want to draw lines. At a certain point, we want to know where you stand. Are you in? Are you out? And the reality is that our society has sort of organized ourselves in this way. There's a wonderful book called The Big Sort. And in it, the writer posits that we, as Americans in particular, live in a more stratified society than ever before. We live in neighborhoods with people that look just like us. We live in cities with people that look just like us. And we separate out. The poor folks are in one section, wealthier folks in another. We separate out by all these factors, all these gifts we might have. And we unfriend those on Facebook that don't like us or share our opinions. This division finds itself inside of churches, inside of families, when we stop talking about hard topics because we're not sure we can be civil and respectful about it. And so, in our world, we turn inward. We live with fear, we live with strife, and we clench our fists. Paul's world is not unlike ours. And Paul says that the first thing we need to do to find a way through division, to find unity, is to celebrate the diversity of our gifts, to name our gifts, to name this as a gift. Well, that sounds fine, but what does Paul really mean? Paul uses something powerful here, a metaphor of the body. Now, Paul could have talked about the church as being a beautiful Parthenon, right? Beautiful building that's open and allows people to come and go, that's strong and solid. And yet, Paul doesn't go that direction. He picks a body that's messy, that gets sick, that loses its voice sometimes, a body that requires all the parts to come together and work together. Why? Because Paul wants this church to realize they have a responsibility to one another. They're in this together, and they've been given these gifts not to work independently over here feeding a meal or over there doing your own thing, but to come together to be a body so that they might have an even greater impact in God's world. Paul is encouraging the church to pay attention to their gifts, to tend to their gifts, to not use them individually, but to bring them together. And it's a powerful metaphor because God also cares about bodies. God chose to come into the world as a little baby, Jesus. God could have come in power in any number of ways, but God chose to enter into humanity through a physical body, a body that would grow and change and have dirty diapers and scream through the night. Not that I know anything about that at all. And this body would grow and change just like the body of Christ. Paul invokes this metaphor of the body for a particular reason. He wants this church to be the body of Christ in the world. He wants them to work together, which is very countercultural. Because in Corinth, it was a Gnostic place. They separated the body from the life of faith. They didn't really care as much about what was happening in the world. So Paul's also doing something here. He's bringing these two ideas together. Faith isn't just something that's spiritual. You think about it, you pray about it. Faith is embodied. It happens through community. I'm spiritual, but not religious. Have any of you heard that phrase in your life? I heard it a lot in Dallas, where I came from, particularly in a young adult group I led in the community. Lots of folks love being spiritual. They pray, they have a spiritual discipline, but for any number of reasons, the body of Christ has hurt them or harmed them, and so they have disregarded church. They can't be religious. They can't be organized. But we can't go about faith in that way, can we? Because when we do, it becomes all about us. It becomes all about what we need, what we want. And again, that's not what Paul is encouraging us to be. Paul's encouraging us to be the body of Christ, to be spiritual and religious, which means we have to commit. We have to be all in, not for ourselves, but for the sake of others. Stewardship. Taking care of the pigs so that everyone can have some bacon. Stewardship, though, requires vulnerability. Because if you're going to commit to being part of this amazing body of Christ, things might not get done in the way you like them to be done, right? When you share your gifts on a ministry team or in leading in worship, it means you're opening yourself up to trusting others to share their gifts too. And sometimes it's amazing and wonderful, and sometimes it's a little bit messy. But the gift of stewardship is that God is with you in the midst, and you have the wonderful opportunity to be grounded and to experience something far deeper and richer than you could on your own with your Bible and a cup of coffee. You might see the world differently because you served dinner at the Cathedral Center or you taught midweek Bible story to a class of four-year-olds. You might start to live your life differently because your small group is wrestling with something and praying for you. I've been getting to know you all for the last month, and I've lost my y'all. It's gone. You guys, right? That's what we say here in Wisconsin. I've been having some meet and greets, and I'll have several more in the coming months. And I'm asking everyone the same question. Why Crossroads? Why come and belong to this particular church and community? And I've heard some amazing stories. Stories of how this body of Christ walked a person through that cancer diagnosis, that hard time in life, and held their family together and helped them heal. I've heard stories about how this community of faith raised up teenagers who were struggling and helped to launch them to be faithful ambassadors of Christ in the world. I've heard stories about how our music ministry has touched people and brought them here to this community of faith so that they might express their gift and for the glory of God. Stewardship is at the heart of all of this. It's what it means to be the church. But you know this. Because you're here week after week, Sunday after Sunday, year after year. You know that when you can't make it through life, this community, this body of Christ will hold you and walk with you. You also know that there's diversity here. We have a diversity of gifts and expressions and opinions, and I thank the Lord for that. Because church is one of the few places in our society where you can come as you are, and you can come as you are, and you can come as you are, and together we can share who we are and the gifts God has given us to be the body of Christ. It's very freeing when you realize that. This gift of stewardship encompasses everything we do, the core of who we are. And when we realize that, it's very freeing. It's freeing because then we can be God's hands and feet out in a world that is hungry and desperate for the radical love of God. So I have an invitation for you. Will you join? Will you share your gifts? Will you consider participating in a new way for this new season of ministry? In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, Amen.